Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, everyone. So at Consultant Connect, we have the opportunity to host a lot of great events for economic developers that bring in great site consultants that really share, you know, some great ideas. What I've been getting asked a lot is, you know, how do we bring those consultants to our community? So about 12 months ago, we came up with the idea of doing what's called our regional summit. And there we have an opportunity to bring in 6 to 8 site consultants that are really focused on the industries that your community is focused on attracting. And we'll bring them to your community. The best part about it is you can involve your regional partners. And what we really find is that bringing in your board members, your community CEOs, and your elected officials to really hear from the site consultants and have the entire community on the same side of the table has created this wonderful opportunity to grow and look towards the future. So if you'd like to, you know, get some more information on having one of these regional summits or hosting one of these regional summits in your community, please reach out to myself, Nick, at consultantconnect.org. That's N-I-C-K at consultantconnect.org. We still have availability to maybe do one more of them this year, but we're already starting to look at communities for next year. So please feel free to reach out, Nick, at consultantconnect.org.
Hey, everyone, this is Carla, and welcome back to the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am here today with Consultant Connect's very own Ron Kitchens. Ron, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome.
Awesome.
It feels weird to be a guest on a podcast.
Yes. Well, I know you're not new to podcasting here in the studio with us, but you're new to the America's Jobs Team podcast, and we are really excited to have you. For those of you that might not know Ron as well as I obviously do, he's the CEO of Southwest Michigan First. He's also a managing partner here at Consultant Connect. He has over 35 years of experience in economic development. He's authored 3 books, including the most recent one, Uniquely You, which I'm sure will come up in today's conversation. He's a trustee at our local university. He's just done amazing things and has created a culture and a name, and especially in economic development, is really being very visionary, very innovative, and an amazing leader. So excited to have you here with us today, Ron.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So we're going to dive right in because I know we will not be needing to fill extra time. We've got a lot to talk about. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some things that are related to leadership. And I know you've written a lot about leadership and you've thought about a lot about leadership and done a lot of speaking engagements related to leading great organizations. And I'm curious today to hear from you what you think the biggest challenge facing leaders today is in the society that we're living in now.
You know, I think the biggest challenge that I see, and we coach a lot of leaders and lots of people call and write and text and email every week. But I think the biggest thing is leaders have to be learners at a greater pace, faster and deeper than ever before. And I say that because as a leader, when I first started, you could say things and make decisions and have a little bit of information, but nobody else had any more than you. But in today's world, where I was giving a speech the other day, and I know the lady on the second row was fact-checking me as I was speaking. And that's just the world we're in now. So if you want to lead, you have to stay ahead. You could used to be the teacher who read one chapter ahead of the students. Today, you have to go deep with your expertise. You have to be able to make decisions in a world where everyone has the ability to challenge that. So you've got to prepare at a level that sometimes seems overwhelming, but you know, it's why, you know, studies show that, you know, great CEOs are reading, and I'll get the number wrong, but it's something like an average of 11 or 12 magazines a month, 3 or 4 newspapers a day, and a book a week. And that's what it's taking to stay up on trends, challenges, and the knowledge to lead. It's the price you pay these days.
Yeah, I think that's so true. We were just on a webinar the other day, and in the course of the webinar, you know, we were talking about states that had adopted legislation for data centers. And there was a chart up that was from earlier this year, and participant chimed in, you know, hey, this state just adopted it too. And it, you immediately start thinking like, man, everything moves so fast that you have to stay really up to speed on what's going on and have enough grace and humility to be able to say like, yeah, things are changing so fast. It's hard to keep up with everything. So you have to, you know, not be so set in I know everything, even if you are reading a ton, because you things you are happening by the minute.
I have Google alerts set on about 15 or 16 different topic headings. And just to stay up on those that I'm asking Google to tell me about will take a couple hours a day of reading.
Yeah.
Just to stay up so I can be competent, not even an expert, just competent.
Right.
On those areas of interest or areas that I'm supposed to have expertise in.
Sure. So when you think about that challenge and you think about leadership, what is a characteristic that you feel like every leader should possess? And is there a person in your life who has maybe been an example that has really embodied that characteristic?
You know, that's one of those things that I think about a lot because I study leaders. I'm doing the research now for my next book, which is on leaders and staying great. And when I look and see what the people I admire, they may not be the people that the stock market loves the most. They may not be the person that, you know, is quoted the most, you know, in combat situations. But the leaders I admire are the leaders who lead with love and respect and caring. I've just finished the book, The Trillion Dollar Coach. It's a story about Bill Campbell, who, you know, sat on the board of Apple and Google and, you know, has coached the CEOs and leadership teams of companies that while he was helping them, gained over $1 trillion in value. And Bill's kind of a gruff ex-college football coach of a guy, but everybody who's interviewed in that talks about how much he loved him, talks about how much he hugged, talks about how much he was honest and brutal with them sometimes, but they knew it came from a place of love. And so I think that as leaders, that's the one thing that we have been told not to do. And I have a friend who's a very successful pastor, and he was coached in seminary. Don't get too close to the people that you're serving. I mean, you know, you have to stay distance. And he's like, I knew then it was wrong, and I never did that. But how can you minister to somebody if you don't love them? But how can you do life with people? How can you work with people? How can you not care deeply about them? We're not talking about eros love. If you look in the Greek, there's seven kinds of love. Eros is that romantic, you know, Valentine's Day love. I'm talking about agape love, the love that says, I want to do life with you, I want to serve with you, and I care about you beyond the transactional of our life. And I think that's just one of those things that that's what people are hungry for, and those are the organizations that succeed. And, you know, when I think there's a lot of people who I admire, who live their life that way, but somebody who's a close friend of both of ours, who I'll lift up for that, is Gray Swope. Gray does a great job, whether he's leading Enterprise Florida and hundreds of employees. People knew that Gray cared about him. You know, now that he owns his own small firm, I've never heard anybody who didn't call Gray and ask for advice who didn't get great, loving advice. And so he's somebody that I think is emblematic of great leadership.
Yeah. What you described is definitely, when I hear Gray's name come up, that's what everyone says. So he is an amazing example of that. So let's talk a little bit about the characteristics that tend to have the reverse impact. And we know a lot of people whose careers have been derailed a lot of times due to one characteristic or one behavior that they have. What behavior or trait do you see that, you know, really has derailed a lot of individuals' career? And in particular, you know, how do you guard against that behavior in your own leadership journey?
Gosh, it's a great question. I think there's two examples I want to give, but that's not what I want to talk about. So when we're talking about derailing, we're not talking about a moral failure. We're not talking about that, because that derails you and in a lot of cases disqualifies you. So derailing, you can come back, get back on tracks, that disqualifies you, or an ethical. and that disqualifies you from leading. I think when we talk about derailing, it is self-inflicted behavior, and it's leaders who lead with fear. Not that they instill fear, but they have so much fear that they're in constant anxiety, constant belief that the world is attacked, constant belief that they can't share influence with those around them. I sat on a board a few years ago, and I'd been added to this existing not-for-profit board. And the leader, I asked to meet with some of the senior staff to better understand the organization, what they did, something I didn't have a lot of expertise in. And he said, well, absolutely not. They work for me. I work for you. Every question you have, every issue needs to go through me to be vetted, and I'll get you the answer. Well, I knew this person wasn't an expert in those fields. And as I served on that board, it became clear and clear to me, this was somebody who was just so scared that the world might find out he wasn't an expert that he documented he wasn't an expert. So, you know, it's one of the reasons at Southwest Michigan First, every member of the leadership team has a group of board members they're responsible for. And they're meeting with independent of me. I don't even know when they're doing it. It doesn't matter because we have to go deep and spread our knowledge and influence. But this fear, this constant fear, I think, kills more leadership, causes leaders to isolate, causes then becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you got to break down the walls. And we all get into this anxiety of, you know, I'm the person at the top. Well, the biggest way to do that is just get past that anxiety. It's just bring more people to the top with you. Serve with people, not ask them to serve you. And when you do that, you begin to realize that it's not the power of one, it's the power of the group that really gives you power and influence. And, you know, you're only a leader if you have followers. And an isolated person can't have followers because they built walls of isolation. And they do that out of this fear that somebody's going to find out they're not amazing. And here's the truth. You are amazing, but you're not amazing at everything. Nobody is.
That's a fact. So this next question is the question that I am most excited to hear your answer to, because I know you care so deeply about the next generation of leadership and have spent, I mean, I can't even begin to tabulate how many hours coaching very green team members here and all across the United States, especially in economic development, but definitely in other capacities as well. But what advice, kind of what's Ron Kitchen's go-to advice for somebody who's going into a leadership position for the first time?
So the first thing, and this is interesting because I actually had this happen last week, of a young economic development leader who was hired to be the number two in a small office, in a 6 or 7 person office, and then the number one immediately left. And he's kind of got to run things right now. And it was like, what do I do? How do I figure it out? So my advice was get out a legal pad, you know, get out that yellow pad and write on it, who are the people who you admire, not who you're fans of, not crazy people. You know, everybody would put Oprah on there and Meghan Markle. But, you know, who are the people that you really see their work and you want to learn from them? Write down 3 questions you want to learn from them. And now the 4th question I want you to write down is, who do you know that I should know and will you introduce me to them? That's your 4th question. And then each week, I want you to reach out to 3 of the people on your list and say, can I come ask you 3 questions that'll take 15 minutes to help me build and develop my leadership? I've had people tell me, well, not right now, the timing's right, but nobody's ever told me no. When I do that, and I still do that today, but that 4th question always gives me extra time. They always go, oh, there are some people. Hey, let me just email them right now and introduce you to them and do that. And I've built such a network of folks. You know, a lot of times it's somebody I don't know or have any connection to. The world is an amazing place. You can find out pretty much anything about anyone find out what their favorite charity is, look at their social media, look at their corporate, and then say, hey, if I could come visit, depending on your budget, I'll donate $50 to X charity because I know that's important to you, and I'll bring the check with me, and it will be the best $50 you spent in your leadership. You don't have to do that every time, but it's your responsibility to learn. As a leader, it's not my responsibility to fill your cup. It's my responsibility to empty my cup. And so, but you've got to be, it's got to be a two-way street there. You've got to ask good questions. Don't come waste my time. Don't tell me how much of a fan you are or why you're a fan or how cool I am. I already know that. We're agreed upon all those things. Come in and ask really good, solid questions, and your leadership will explode with opportunity.
That's amazing advice. When you think about changing jobs, so you kind of talked about, you know, this individual that just recently took a job and then, you know, the senior person in that shop left.
Well, I kind of think that's actually what happened to you too.
That is 100% what happened to me. And that similar advice that you gave to me at the time, that was my reality. We're 5 years in past that, but that was definitely a moment of like, what have I gotten myself into? But when you think about, you know, especially in economic development, people are moving jobs frequently. And I hope this is not you getting ready to change jobs, but how do you know, or how do you think people, like, what advice do you have for people when they're kind of thinking, like, I'm trying to figure out if I'm being called to a different place, if it's time to leave, like, when is the right time to leave, to change jobs? How do you know?
So I think there's coveting and calling. So I like to travel, which is a good thing because I get to travel a lot with my role. And I like really cool upcoming restaurants and locally owned bookstores. Those are my things. So when I travel, I make a point to go if I have any time to do those things. And so what I find is they're amazing and I love them. And I come home and I'm like, went from a mountaintop to a valley. And I go, I got to move to that city. The food was so great. The bookstore was so cool. The flowers were prettier. Everything smelled well. All the children were above average. You know, those kind of things. Well, I'm coveting. I'm not called to be there. The reality is they have the same problems my community has. I wouldn't go to that restaurant every day. I would only go there on special occasions. There's all kinds of things, but you can find yourself really disconnected and dissatisfied because you're coveting. You know, and we know it in relationships and happens, but it happens in our careers. So you got to say, where can I have the most impact and influence? And when you begin to look at that, you begin to say, wow, I'm doing pretty well where I'm at. Or, you know what? I need a different marketplace because it's that whole Zig Ziglar thing. You can have anything you want in this world if you help enough people get what they want, but you got to be in an environment to help enough people. And so, you know, I really had that feeling, what now, 8 or 9 years ago, and which is why, you know, then our consulting division was born. And then 5 years ago, you came into my life and you were able to take Consultant Connect, which was a dream of mine, to the next level. It was because I really wanted to have influence and impact on economic developers' lives around the country because I believe they're the most amazing people in their communities, that without great economic developers, our country begins to tumble. And so I truly believe that, but I was worried I couldn't do it from here. But we've proven that in this virtual world we live in, you don't have to be in one place. So the idea of what you're called to do takes lots of contemplation. And I guarantee what I'm called to do is not going to strike me in a bookstore after just having, you know, a great microgreen salad. Okay, I never eat the microgreen salad.
It was all
I could come up with, a gourmet, you know, New Zealand lamb cheeseburger.
There
How's
we go.
That?
That's better. That's better.
So you got to push back on that because we see leaders do that and then they immediately fail and they're gone in 6 months in the new job. And you go, what the hell happened? That was a great economic developer. How could that fit be so wrong? Because it was a fit based on coveting, not a fit based on calling.
That's a really, really good answer. Now is the time for the question that you actually, this is your favorite question. So as we were putting together kind of what types of things we wanted to talk about in this podcast with all of these amazing economic developers and site selection professionals, you said, I'm curious to know from all of these individuals what it means to you to be an American. So I'm going to throw your own question back at you and hear from you on what it means to you to be an American.
The expectation that wherever somebody is, wherever they started from, whatever the color of their skin, whatever their gender is, that we believe in exceptionalism. We believe that people have the ability to be exceptional. It's not about the caste system you came from. It's not about your royal lineage. It's not about where you went to grade school. Those things are all nice, I guess, if that's where you're from. But that's not how we do it in America. America believes, fundamentally believes that. Now, we forget it. We see great divisions forming in our country around a fear that if you're exceptional, I can't be. There is always room at the top. It is never crowded at the top because exceptional people create more opportunity for each other and for everybody else. And part of me is that's what breaks my heart right now, is this belief that for some reason, there's not enough room for everybody to be great. And, you know, I came from, you know, as humble of beginnings and background as you can be. And there was always room in the worlds I lived in for me to be exceptional and to grow and to take other people with me. And I really worry that we're going to one day turn into an Ayn Rand novel where those who have capacity and knowledge begin to separate themselves behind iron gates. And we become a place that not only has haves and have-nots, every place will have haves and have-nots, but we become a place that we don't even acknowledge that gulf and that separation. And I don't think it's who we are. It's not who we were founded to be. We are better than that. And we've got to get our better angels out of the closet and remind ourselves that the greatest people we've ever known were people who others believed in regardless of where they came from.
Well, now I realize why you were sitting on that question and wanted to hear from everybody else, because really you were sitting on some amazing insight and just your own reflection on what being an American means to you. And that's just really powerful. It's really powerful to think that your leadership is not only an avenue for you, but is also almost your responsibility as an American to bring others along in that journey. And I hope if you take nothing else away from the podcast today with Ron, you take that, because we all have a lot of power.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, we're recording this a couple of days after the, what hopefully none of us ever forget, was the rally in Iowa or wherever it was, where their crowd is chanting, "Ship her back." I don't want to live in a world does that, because my great-grandparents came here from another country and weren't welcome in the first place they landed because they were Germans. And so they had to move along. You know, my wife's family, her grandparents migrated across the country from Sweden, Kansas, because that's where the Swedes were welcome. There were too many of them in Philadelphia, according to the locals. And so off to Kansas they go. We all have that origin story. And to, I don't want a little girl watching TV who doesn't look like the other kids in her classroom, whose parents may have an accent, but deserves the American dream, to worry that people are going to chant that. Because you know, in schoolyards today, there are kids surrounding the brown-skinned kid and chanting that. And that's evil. And we have to stop that. Absolutely. So we probably just lost a lot of listeners. I'm sorry if that offended somebody, but it breaks my heart to think about that little kid. Words matter. Adult behaviors matter. And people model those behaviors. You can disagree or agree with the president. There's lots I agree with them on, but we have to put a stop to that. We have to condemn those behaviors.
Yeah, and I just think it's really powerful to think that regardless of what level of leadership you think you have, you do have the ability to bring somebody along with you. And that is just really powerful. So we're going to finish on hopefully a higher note. But I want to know from you, you've had a lot of huge accomplishments in your career. You've done very transformational things in a lot of different communities that you've had the opportunity to serve in. But if you had to pick one thing that makes you most proud of in your career, not necessarily your family, those types of things, we know you're, you know, Lynn and Kelsey are the apple of your eye, but what are you most proud of in your career so far?
You and Omar and Sarita and John and the dozen other people, you know, who have gone, Jennifer, who have gone on to lead their own economic development groups. I truly do believe economic development is my calling. There is nothing I care more about than the power of a job. You know, one of my oldest memories is of my mom. I must have been 5 or 6. And my dad had died. We were, you know, living on government checks. My mom sitting at an Orange for Mica table crying because she didn't have a job. She could either fix her car or pay the electric bill. She couldn't do both. And I grew up knowing that the people who had what I didn't have in this world all had one thing in common, and their families had jobs. So economic developers are the avenue to make that happen. They're the avenue for me to ensure there's one fewer mom crying at that dining or that kitchen table every night. And so to do that, I've got to magnify and lift up economic developers and leaders so they can go lead organizations, not just my own. I don't want to lose anybody. But if we lose somebody, I want to be quoted in that press release talking about how amazing they are and how they're going to do such a great job for their next organization. And, you know, if I could get, I have about 15, 16 more years of work ahead of me, maybe a little longer if I could convince Lynn to let me. But I want there to be 50 people who show up, you know, at my funeral and say, I had a great career and I was able to lead at the highest level I wanted to lead at because of Ron or because he encouraged me. And if I can do that, that will be enough.
Well, I think that you are well on your way. I would argue you probably already have 50, so you may need to increase your goal, maybe even double it. But I think you're well on your way and certainly very excited to be under your leadership. And just thank you so much again for joining us today, Ron. I know it's time out of your schedule, but I feel like your insights on a podcast that you kind of helped found was really important for the leadership audience. So thank you. Your passion for leadership is inspiring as always, and I will definitely be catching up with you again here soon. So for the listening audience, it was a great interview with Ron. I hope you took away a lot from that interview and just feel a little bit more refreshed in your role in economic development. I think he dropped a lot of little insights, you know, thinking about, are you coveting another career? Or is that where you've been called? Really thinking about leading without that constant anxiety. There were a couple things that really hit home for me, and I hope that they did for you. I'm also excited about next week. I get a chance to talk with a dear friend, Kathy Musio. She's the managing partner at Atlas Insight, and she is just an amazing site selection professional. She is a hustler. Her and her partner, Brian, who run the agency, just are really, really phenomenal. They are moving and shaking in site selection, and she has a lot of insight into her, not only her own career in site selection, but what it takes to be an amazing leader in this field in both economic development and site selection. So I'm excited for you to hear from Kathy Musio next week.